Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Title of the show today, do I have a show for you? Blocked Spiritual Force and Disease. Why God gave us DMT and the pineal gland. Today's show, well, you've got to tie all the pieces together. You've got to integrate concepts. You've got to be very honest with yourself. And then you'll get much out of today's show. Now, my regular audience, those of you who have listened, will be familiar with many of the things I'm going to say today. The bonus for you is we're going to tie a lot of the pieces together, and that's what you get off my website. That's what you get off continually listening to the show every beautiful Saturday morning. Because really, making all this stuff about health functional is about an integration that comes with time. You are maturing in your evolution. Your understanding, or the gravity that you bring to these subjects, is deepening over time. The weight of knowledge. And that's very important to understand, because we live in a day and age when data acquisition, give it to me fast, give it to me quick, give me all the data there is and let me move on to the next piece. That's the way society goes. It's not really what makes a difference to your health. Surely you need the facts and the data and the newsletters and the YouTube clips and the ads and the cliff notes. But you see, that's not really where the result comes from. You've got to piece it together and give it weight in the marrow of your bone. You've got to bring it deep. And that's what I try to do every Saturday for you. Now, part of doing that is from bringing concepts together. So if you are symptomatic, if you have a disease, and there is so much disease around. Once a week, I run around the office screaming, we're in crisis. All of a sudden, I mean, sometimes you just hear it so hard from so many people. So many people get sick. And it wasn't really like that 10 years ago. Something is happening. So without getting sensational about it, if you're symptomatic, if you have disease, if you want radiant health, what you're going to have to consider is that your spiritual force. Now, what is spiritual force? Well, that's a big one, right? That's a word that means everything and nothing. But I'm going to let you understand that term, spiritual force, as you want. And I want you to consider there's a relationship between the blockage of that spiritual force, or could I say creative force, or could I say after the age of 50, starting to regret the fact that your dreams didn't come true, or could I say living too many decades feeling trapped in relationships that go nowhere, in jobs that go nowhere, in promises made to yourself that you never capitalized on. See, I would put that under blocked spiritual force. Do you? So I'm going to use that dangerous word, spiritual. But whatever it means to you, I'm going to make the claim. And do you agree? Are you numb and this means nothing? But I'm going to make the claim, supported by many, that blocked creative, blocked spiritual force is at the root of disease. And then I'm going to give you the good part, that God gave us a pineal gland and a whole bunch of systems that if you understand them, if you make them functional, if you integrate them, that you end up in the pineal gland and in a chemical called DMT, dimethyltryptamine. So that's the premise of today's show. I left a link at top, DMT, the spirit molecule. Leave that for later. Get on YouTube. It's a free documentary. And take the time to get in to DMT, the spirit molecule. And understand that our pineal gland makes that chemical. It makes DMT. And under the influence of DMT, people have out-of-body experience. Now, without getting into ayahuasca, the hallucinogen from the Amazon and the tradition behind that, without getting in to the use of hallucinogens, which confer the effects of DMT on the body, without getting into that, make sure you understand this. That the Christian saints, that the saints from every religion, that anyone noted, observed, awarded, commended for being in the altered plane, the plane that was closer to God, the otherworldly existence, the outside of the humdrum of everyday existence, was no doubt producing greater concentrations of DMT into their bloodstream. Now, I only have 60 minutes today, so you've got to give me the benefit of the doubt with a few assumptions. And then on your own, get into this documentary, learn more about Candace Pert, learn more about Wilhelm Reich, learn more about the chemicals we now know today that we isolate in our bloodstreams, at our receptor sites, that characterize, that have something to do with the godly experience. The experience outside of the world, the normal, mundane world, the place you want to go. What's in your bloodstream when you're dreaming? What's in your bloodstream when you hold your newborn? What's in your bloodstream when you fall in love? What is in the bloodstream of the inventor when he sees a creation of his come to fruition? What is in our bloodstream is being studied. Or is it in your bloodstream? Or is your life a long tale of regrets and broken dreams? And of course, because we're all politically correct, we would say, no, not me. And yet, I assure you, I have never seen a sick person. I have never seen one manifest disease, chronic symptomology, that wasn't filled with these kinds of regrets. So we have to be real with each other today. Not our politically correct face, but who we are underneath. And the part of us, the moments given to negative thought, to that terrible empty feeling, that black void in us all, that feels like we haven't received yet what we came here for. Now that, functionally speaking, clinically speaking, is always at the root of disease. So whether you're symptomatic, disease-ridden, or want to continue to be healthy, this is a very important topic for you. Now, where I want to jump to is I want you to consider systems in the body. I want you to consider systems. This is where I want you to piece things together. Of course, if you're new to the show, welcome. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you can, get on the website, straighttalk.cc. That's not .com, that's .cc with two T's, Straight Talk. Because I got loads of pictures for you on the website. And these shows are archived. I no longer charge for them. And if you can get to the website, listen to the show maybe once or twice or three times or 10 times and let it sink in. Because this show is conceptual. It's not data acquisition. It's taking more deeply key concepts. These systems, the ventricular system of the brain, in the center of your brain, between your ears, is that big balloon that pumps cerebrospinal fluid from the top of your head to your sacrum and back up. The ventricular system. The pineal gland and its relationship to the superior colliculus. In other words, that little nipple of a gland. Tintillated. And yes, I know, I'm speaking maybe over your head, but not purposely. I want you to take an overview of systems, and then we'll get into these specifically. We'll look at the pictures, or I'll describe it to you if you can't be at a computer. That ventricular system, the third ventricle, tintillating this little nipple of a gland, the pineal gland, and banging it between the two heads of the superior colliculuses. That is a system. If you say the pineal gland is the third eye, if that has meaning, the pineal gland is going to run your circadian rhythm, producing melatonin. If the pineal gland is going to hit a frequency capable of producing dimethyltryptamine and giving you the out-of-body experience, the connection with God, the halo around your head, the vision that you seek, the wisdom from above, however you want to term it. If that pineal gland is going to confer to you the benefit of that chemical, DMT, it's going to have to be banged up against the colliculi. That's a system. The hypothalamus and the pituitary, they sit in the sphenoid bone. Number three, and we'll look at it later. They sit in something called the cella turcica. The pineal gland connected to the hypothalamus, connected to the pituitary. Yes, connected. They're all talking to each other. And that pituitary sitting in the Turkish saddle, the cella turcica of the sphenoid bone. Point being, does that sphenoid bone wobble? Does it move? Does it have the necessary frequency to keep the hypothalamus active, awake, alive? The cranial bones are talking to the neuroendocrine system through the hypothalamus gland. That's a system. The cranial bones, all of which separate at the sutures and vibrate at a particular frequency. They bend. They can be made to soften so that they, functionally speaking, separate just a little more, perhaps a micron, perhaps less than a micron. But nonetheless, that separation implies a vibration measured as a frequency. And when the frequency of the vibrating cranium affects the frequency of the pituitary sitting in the cella turcica, transferred to the hypothalamus and joining the pineal gland, well, then the pineal begins to vibrate. That is a system. As those ventricles produce, cerebrospinal fluid, that cerebrospinal fluid flows through the brain, pushes fluid through every cell, in between every cell, every neuron of the brain, down to the sacrum, towards the sacrum, up again. That is a system covered by the dural tissue, which separates the hemispheres, which the brain sits on, which surrounds the brain and the spinal cord. Then, of course, the wires to the cells. Your cell, your symptom, is the product of dysfunction within the cell. Your tumor, your malignancy, your autoimmune disease, your joint pain, your colitis, your congestive heart failure, your chronic lung condition. Whatever, in fact, you suffer from comes down to a cell in an organ. And regardless of what you do nutritionally, regardless of what you do nutritionally, those wires into the cell given to you off the autonomic nervous system, the wires, the nerve wires to the cell, that cell that's becoming diseased, that can no longer organize the nutrition you give it. Those wires are all tied in to the hypothalamus gland. Those wires we call the autonomic nervous system, sympathetic and parasympathetic nerves. So both the nerves that speed things up and the nerves that slow things down are under control through the hypothalamic system. So you have multiple systems, all of which in and of themselves are a life's work, all of which are integrating in ways that have to mean more and more to your physical experience of them. And when you make the right music between those systems, the pineal gland begins to open creative avenues. So blocked creative force, if you want to go to the physiology of the body, blocked creative force represents the failure of those systems to operate optimally. Creative force and potential is about the regulation of those systems. Now, Reich, Wilhelm Reich, many, many years ago, postulated through experience and study, and his name remains with us today because he laid down foundations, like Candace Pert laid down foundations, like Hans Selye laid down foundations. People intimately involved in science, intimately involved in health and disease, have laid down foundations, all of which attest to the things I'm putting together for you today. They each took a piece. But collectively, then, you see what a holistic concept is really about. So your creative force, is it blocked or does it flow? That isn't poetry. That is, can you sit there at whatever age you are and take joy in the fact that you're starting to feel like you've gotten what you came here for, or not? Deep down inside, are you celebrating the materialization of everything you dreamed about, of many things you've dreamed about, into the reality of your life, or not? Is that creative force blocked, or does it flow? And do you understand that there's much relationship then between your ability to organize your cell to health, to prevent it from decay, or to have it succumb to symptom and then disease? Take a look at Reich. Go to the top. I hope you're on the website. Go to the top. Go to that article on Reich's intellectual development. For those of you listening in your car, wherever you might be, we're talking about Wilhelm Reich. He was a psychiatrist back in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s. Those of you on the site, you're noting that page, Reich's intellectual development. Reich was a psychiatrist. He was on scholarship to a medical school in Vienna, the medical school in Vienna. Reich postulated through experience that the mind he was trying to fix as a psychiatrist, that the neurotic character structure lived in the physical tissues of the body. It meant when his patients had a pattern, an abnormal, aberrant, dysfunctional mind pattern, a behavioral pattern that hurt their life, that kept them in pain, that today would have meant a diagnosis of ADD, of bipolar, that today would have meant Prozac or lithium or some opiate. Reich said back then, well, if you're trying to fix the mind, you have to start touching the body. That was Reich's basic premise. And if you're looking at that page, note that on the second half of that page, next to a number, I put number 4 there. As it's noted, Reich stated, as the bands of tension dissolve, the autonomic nervous system becomes able to react strongly and streamings occur. Reich referred to this as the orgasm reflex, an relaxation of the organism accompanied by a shivering, much as a cat does. Reich was saying, as a psychiatrist, as a doctor, as a medical doctor in the 20s, that we can talk all we want, but until we put you on the table, until we purge you of those emotions, until we see your body shudder like a cat shudders when you pet it, like a dog shudders after it yawns. Reich was saying, until that occurs, you don't have balance in the autonomic nervous system. Now, I cite Reich today as one of the progenitors of this important concept in the Western world, that is. As one of the progenitors, educated, renowned in his field, progenitors of the notion that blocked creative force causes disease. My point being, take a look at all the systems in the body that are asking you to make them functional. Do you have a sense of the cranial system? Do you have a sense of the nervous system? Do you have a sense of flow? These are not empty words. These are experiences. These are experiences to be participated in as you evolve a practice. And we'll get in more specifically. But you need faith. And faith, well, in part, faith derives from knowledge. So when you study the body and you look at the cranial system, you look at the ventricular system, you look at the positioning of the pineal gland between the canaliculuses. You look at molecules that we can isolate today like DMT, like endorphins, like enkephalins. When you look at the flow of the cerebral spinal fluid, when you watch people unravel dural tissue, when you look at all of these different systems become functional, it propels you. It gives weight to the argument. Now, Reich, if you go to the next page, and you can get into this article later, you really should. But on the next page, I'll read it to you. From 1940 onwards, Reich's work shifted from a clinical and therapeutic interest to what he felt was an increasingly biological and natural scientific endeavor. He wrote a book on cancer called The Cancer Biopathy. He felt that cancer was a matter of biological frustration, an organismic shrinking and withdrawal, which occurred, as did other somatic diseases, in just those areas where armoring was most severe. I'm going to read that again. I'm going to ask you to continue to piece this together. I'm going to ask you to think in terms of your symptom, of your disease, of your broken list of dreams. Of all the things God gave you that you might employ, that you might be interested enough to explore, that you might trust can offer you a way out of the situation you find yourself so deeply, deeply mired in. That there's ways out of disease, by getting in touch with these various systems. And that, most fundamentally, is what holistic medicine is. If you are thinking your way out is popping a pill, whether it be an herb or a pharmaceutical drug, please reconsider that. It may help, but it doesn't work. You have to understand how to make it like a symphony. And when that music hits crescendo, well, that's when you experience your miracle. For some of us, miracles are to be earned. For some of us, you can simply ask, and perhaps you'll be granted. But for many of us, getting in touch, tapping on the shell of biological systems that you were given, sacred systems, to make them functional, is where your miracle lives. And as it relates to disease, the end of chronic disease, well, this is exactly where your benefit comes. So there's Reich, beginnings just as a psychiatrist, when psychiatry was budding, on scholarship, charismatic, at the top of his field, could have made a wonderful living sitting down on a couch for the rest of his life and simply listening to people tell their tales and doing the best within the limitation of psychiatry to make a change in those who grieve. And there he is, jumping within a decade of his practice, jumping to an understanding that you have to touch the body to give it some sense of itself, some release, to get on the other side of not only a neurotic character pattern, but really to get on the top of a disease. Thus his work, the cancer biopathy. The cancer, and I'll repeat it, a matter of biological frustration. Any disease is fundamentally a biological frustration, which occurred, as did other somatic, in just those areas where armoring was most severe. Where those armoring was most severe. All right. I want you to hold that and go to picture 20. Hold that and go to picture 20. Those of you just listening, picture 20 is an excerpt taken to summarize, to some extent, a theory in Chinese medicine called five-phase. Five-phase medical theory. It makes relationships between organs and emotions. Reich just said where armoring is most severe. So if you're most armored in terms of the emotion anger, if you live in anger, it will hit your liver. If you live in sadness, it will hit your heart. If you live in grief, it'll hit your lung. If you live in fear. Now, we all live in all of these emotions. The key is, the point is, some of us spend a disproportionate amount of time in one emotion or the other. Some people are predominantly sad. Some are predominantly angry. Some are predominantly fearful. Some are predominantly grieving. Some are predominantly worry warts. If a dollar's worth of emotional energy is spent each day, where does most of your dollar go? And what Reich is saying, what Chinese medicine is saying, what Vedic medicine is saying, what all the medicines are saying, is that predominantly where your emotion goes, your negative emotion goes, is predominantly which organ system is going to go down. But you see, the organs in Chinese medicine don't mean just the organ. Well, the organ shouldn't mean just the organ in Western physiology. I did a show last week on the scarring in the liver. The liver does 1,200 things. Some people say 500. Some people say 1,200. Guyton felt it was more like 1,200 in the 30s. I would side with Arthur Guyton. 12 to 1,600 functions. If your liver is owned by the emotion of anger, external or internal, those 1,600 functions will suffer. and how that manifests is anybody's guess. Perhaps when, in the end, we point to the genetics. See, this is what we're going to do. This is why I do a show like this. What we're going to do now that we've been smart enough to map the genome and learn more about the genes and start to do genetic testing, what we're going to do, what's going to happen to you when you run in fear to your doctor to listen to this nonsense that your disease is because you've got this genetic tendency, and of course we can isolate the gene now, so we have to be right. What these ninnies are going to do is overlook the holistic model, which is to say that that gene activates not in your favor because it finally succumbs to the burden placed upon it by the total amount of defective physiology that bangs on the door of the cell. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Go see how much sense goes on in your average doctor's office today. I don't see a lot of sense there when people come flocking each week with their diseases and are told this is genetic and you can't do much about it, so we'll manage it and medicate it. We'll forget about all this holistic mumbo jumbo. Don't be ignorant like that. Point being, from Reich's work to Cellier's work to Peart's work to all these sacred systems of the body, they have a upregulating effect on the intelligence of the cell or a downregulating effect on the intelligence of the cell. The intelligence of the cell. To really understand that, you have to understand a lot of chemistry. You have to see the cell make choices chemically in its favor to protect itself from disease. You have to understand that really disease is an adaptation of the cell based on its intelligence. That cancer is just a cell trying to save itself from the muck of its terrain. That the cell has intelligence, and that its intelligence is under the effect of all of these systems I've cited here today. And these doctors from Peart to Cellier, so on and so forth, are simply pointing out, each with their own area of expertise, the wonder of these systems, the godliness of these systems. And of course, that's where their career ends, you see, because you can't say godly and have it to do anything with science. Science is limited. God is infinite. Well, in that sense, it's only logical to say that underneath all the experiments of all the times is something godly. And we would agree with that. All your scientists would, those who are not atheists. But instead we go to church on Sunday. Our scientists pray. Our scientists believe in God. But when it comes to having God impact their view in science, a scientific perspective, this is the line that isn't crossed. Well, Peart, Reich, Cellier, they cross these lines. But you see, this hasn't made its way into Kaiser Permanente. You see, at Kaiser, if you're sick, it's your genetics, and there's not much you can do about it. Chinese understood this differently. Reich understood this differently. You must understand this differently, but with weight, not just with that superficial smile that works at Starbucks when there's nothing else to talk about, but deep in your body when you're given that moment, that terrible moment when you find out you have a disease. Okay, let's get into this more deeply now, okay? I want you to go to, picture number 10. Picture number 10 is the ventricular system of the brain. Now, in that ventricular system, which those of you who can't see the picture, it looks like a balloon with a bunch of horns on it. It's an odd-looking thing. In the center of your brain is something pumping. In the center of your brain is something creating fluid. Cerebral spinal fluid from the blood, the choroid plexus of the third ventricle of the brain. The choroid plexus of the third ventricle of the brain takes the blood that comes up from your heart through the carotids and the vertebral artery. It takes that blood and converts it to a white colorless fluid called cerebrospinal fluid. And that pumping of the ventricular system is in relationship to your breath. It's in relationship to the flex between the cranial bones. If we took all of your cranial bones and we glued them shut so that they couldn't move, so that they were all like steel, your ventricular system would die. It would function, but it would function very dysfunctionally. So this ventricular system needs its pump. Its pump comes from breath. Its pump comes from the flex between the cranial system, between the cranial bones. The cranial system and the breath are two systems that must protect the ventricular frequencies of the brain. Because that cerebral spinal fluid that the ventricular system produces is what bathes the brain. The neurons of the brain cannot renew themselves unless the cerebral spinal fluid flows with integrity. There are different rates of flow based on different frequencies within the ventricular system, based on different frequencies. When I say frequencies, I mean the vibratory power of the tissue involved. So I can use frequency to mean, how are the cranial bones vibrating? How do the ventricles of the brain vibrate? So you have to understand functionally the word frequency. Organs have frequencies. Everything's moving at a different pace. Did you think the organs were just dead, inanimate objects? The human organism is exactly that. It is a dynamic organism that can be measured electromagnetically. It isn't just a bunch of chemicals that we measure, and when the chemical's too high or low, we drop a flag. By the time the chemical is high or low, the frequency has been off for a long time, and the body's been scrambling to compensate through the glandular system. So there's your ventricular system. Now, if you go to the third ventricle, looking at that picture, so again, picture 10, I want you to go to the bottom of picture 10. Those of you driving or looking at the ventricular system of the brain, look at the bottom there, bottom left, where it says pineal recess. Pineal recess. And just follow that up. And the point is that the third ventricle has a little piece of itself that can affect the vibration of the pineal gland. Now I'm going to give you a picture. It's one of the great pictures of medicine. Picture number 9. Those of you driving, bear with it. Get home to the website later. Listen to the show and look at the pictures. StraightTalk.cc, not .com, 2 T's. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. There is no show like this in America. None. Third ventricle. Look at that picture. Picture 9. Third ventricle. Look at it. The third ventricle. There it is. The top of picture 9 on the left. The third ventricle. And look what's below it. Below the third ventricle is the pineal gland. Sitting between those two big pillows called the colliculuses. There are four pillows there that cradle the pineal gland. And the two top pillows are called the superior colliculuses. The pineal sits in between the superior colliculuses, being titillated by the third ventricle. And of course, that third ventricle will vibrate at different frequencies based upon the cranial rhythm and the breath. Look at that. The Garden of Eden is before you. You're looking at it. You're looking at your answer. And the way out of your creative, biological, spiritual frustration. Right? The cancer biopathy. The way out of that spiritual, creative frustration. The way out of it is to change your frequency. Because when that pineal begins to vibrate at different levels, answers are given. If I were to translate the Lord provides into something scientific, you're looking at it. Of course, this isn't science. It can't be, right? It can't be that we have a pineal gland that we know for a fact secretes DMT, that we know for a fact takes us out of body, that we know for a fact gives us communion with God, that we know for a fact runs our biological clock. It's not scientific to say that that pineal gland just might change the rate at which it bangs its head between the two colliculuses, in that the third ventricles have a pump system driven by the breath and the cranial rhythm. That's not scientific enough, right? We're going to have to subject that to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of study. If you were to ask the National Institute of Health for a grant to prove 1% of what I'm saying today, you would be destroyed. You would be destroyed. If you took your doctorate to the NIH and proposed something like this, you would have your PhD burned. There's no doctorate with enough guts to consider any of this. And it's understandable because they will be ostracized. If they're at the universities where these technologies exist, they will be shunned. So you can't say any of this is scientific. And even if you could, where would you get the funding? You see the plight of holistic medicine? You see the scam? The scam is that even though the soul knows all, we've marginalized this down to making you, the public, believe that unless what I'm saying is supported, and what others have said is supported by some scientific double-blind placebo study endorsed by the NIH and Harvard, it isn't true. That is the scam. The fix is in. Do you get this? Just look at that picture. If you can't see God waving his hand at you in that picture, you might be dead. Numb. You've already given up. You were brought here defective spiritually. If you cannot see God looking at you, waving his hand, and that the pineal gland is kissing the third ventricle, and science confirms the function of that gland, I don't know what to say. And yet, so many people, this is where the devil lives. Make no mistake about it. The devil lives to keep you numb and dumb and ignorant. And yet this is what our institutions offer us. You see? This is the plight of holistic medicine. This is the public's plight. This is your plight because you believe in this. You have a sense of this. The point is, when the rubber hits the road, when you have chronic symptom, when you don't any longer sleep, when you have things growing in your body, when you have a prognosis from these limited institutions, the point is, when the rubber hits the road, do you have stability? And that is why I do this show, to give you stability. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. Listen again. Picture 11, look at that ventricular system. There it is, placed. Look at that. Look at that. Placed right behind your eyes. Look at that. Look at that. Wondrous. Picture 15. There's the wonderful Candace Pert. It's before she became famous. That's Solomon Schneider, her mentor, who later denied her full credit for her contributions. But I think they worked that out eventually, and I'm sure he felt terrible over the years. And Pert wrote Molecules of Emotion. Yes, she did. Molecules of Emotion. Great book. In fact, it would behoove us all. Go to the top and look at Candace Pert, that YouTube, PhD taken from Healing and the Mind with Bill Moyers. we're going to take a minute now. I just want you to listen to this woman, and then you look at the video later. Just listen. Just start it and listen. Let's do things you never do on radio. Let's listen to a YouTube. Just listen. Pert, neuroscientist, National Institute of Mental Health. Neuropeptides. Just a moment and listen. Just listen to her. Okay, I gave you 40 seconds on that. She's talking about neuropeptides, and she's saying, Pert, as a neuroscientist running centers for mental health, that these neuropeptides were not only found in the brain, they were found in every organ of the body. Now, Pert later on went to insist that these neuropeptides, that these molecules of emotion run every system in the body. That your endorphin and your enkephalins run every system in the body. That this was the way organs communicate with organs. That organs are happy and they want to tell other organs to be happy. And that this cascade of happiness either pervades the body to a more regulating frequency or not. And this is what Reich is trying to say to you. Reich is saying many years earlier, in the cancer biopathy, and it's not just cancer, as with all somatic disease, that you either expand creatively or you shrink organistically. So 50 years later, 60 years later, Pert is getting this to a more defined science. Can you see where this is going? Can you see in what way this relates to you? Your body is not having a party, but your animals do. This is why I always use the animals. When you pet your animal, you can see it expanding itself biologically. Something in its biology is receiving the touch, but that is not you. If it were, you would be as happy and as functional as animal. And any vet, any pet owner will know when that animal is not like that. Something is wrong with the animal. It's odd, but it's true. We can always see it outside ourselves more easily. So you can easily understand how if an animal, if you can't pet an animal, if you cannot pet your kitty cat, something is terribly wrong with that kitty cat. How many people after the age of 50 are pet? You pet your animal each day. You pet your animal 10 times a day, 20 times a day. You pet your animal an hour a day. People will spend more money on their pets than they will on anything, on themselves. Suppose when you pet your animal, the animal just shrunk away from you. Suppose it hissed at you. Suppose it growled at you. Suppose its heckles went up. Suppose its body got hard. Suppose it was absolutely numb. You would rush that animal in an animal ambulance to the vet. Yes, you would. So we can understand it with our animals. We can understand it with our children. What Reich is saying, what Pert is saying, what Cialé is saying, is that represents a pattern of stress in the body. And that pattern of stress, Cialé terms sympathetic dominant, and it will mean that the cell cannot organize itself biochemically. The herbs you spend your money on don't work. They are of limited value. Your health regimens become depressed in their value. Your exercise, your nutrition, so on and so forth. Until the autonomic nervous system. And this was the line. This was the line on which Chinese medicine, Vedic medicine, Reich's medicine, Pert's medicine was built. Does your health practice alter the frequencies of the autonomic nervous system? Have you hit the vagus nerve yet? And of course, I don't think we found a better way to sum this up than a five-letter word, prana. Back to prana, back to chi, back to your experience of it. And yet I know for a fact this means so little to many of you. But this is America, and we still have freedom of speech. So you can say prana only to mean everything that Reich meant it to mean, and Pert meant it to mean, and CLA meant it to mean, and your dog and cat meant it to mean. But the question is for you, locked in symptom, chronic illness, does it flow? So what the Chinese did, what the Vedics did, what pre-dynastic Egypt did, what the North American Indian did, what the South American Indian did, what everyone from olden times did when we had an ecosystem to confer this intelligence to us, what all these systems of medicine did is say, base the efficacy of your therapy. Your health practice must make the prana grow. The physical experience of electromagnetism, what we today call prana, what your cat feels when you pet it, must be the foundation upon which you build your health practice. If it doesn't move the chi, get rid of it. If over 6 months, the class, the holistic remedy, what you spend time, money, and energy in the hope that it will confer you health, if it isn't in little ways or moderate ways or large ways bringing you more to a pranic experience, some semblance of what you see, your cat experience. Don't act like you can't understand this. Go home and pet your cat. And watch what your cat does when you pet your cat. Watch what your dog does when you pet the dog. Observe it. Observe it to make love sounds. Observe it to soften. Observe it to shake. Observe it to unwind that cat as its spine bends, almost as if bending through some invisible force. Oh, I see. You mean you think when you pet a cat and its spine goes up into that U configuration, it's just doing that to let you know that it wants to bring its spine up to your hand so you don't have to reach down and pet it. That's what you think, right? Don't think that. When you pet the spine of a cat, the shape of its spine is an involuntary response that proves that that animal is experiencing a shift in its electromagnetic state. When a dog yawns and it shakes to the tail, that dog is having a deep organistic release. And so Chinese medicine and Vedic medicine and all those medicines I've mentioned built a system proportional to the depth of the release. That's what you have to keep in mind. Because if you do that, then you can start to talk to all these systems. You can talk to the ventricular system. You can talk to the flow of cerebral spinal fluid. You can talk to your cranial bones. These systems are to be felt when breath creates the shift. When breath creates the same release that you observe in your cat, when your breath creates the same release that you observe in your cat or your dog when you pet it. Breath then has a true functional meaning. Think of that. Breath ignites all of these systems. The pineal gland behind the... Why is breath so rooted in all these health traditions? Because it influences the cranium. And upon influencing the cranium, it can bring you to the same release it brings your animals. Yes, it can. Are we integrating? Are you lost? Well, get to the website. When you can get to the website, that's straighttalk.cc. If you're lost further, if this is Greek, it should be Greek, but not for my regular audience. for my regular audience, it should ask you to dig deeper. Right, it's just a nice show on Saturdays. No, no, you see, don't do that to yourself. You wait too long, and then when something nasty knocks on your door, you're sunk. The other side of disease for most people is like having Godzilla knock on the door with Mike Tyson riding its scales, saying you've got 15 minutes to prepare for the fight of your life. Don't wait that long. Don't let your health concerns wait that long. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for a creative expansion. What does this have to do with creativity? What do you think shuts the breath? What do you think shuts the cranial rhythm? What do you think forces your cell into a dysplastic state? Broken dreams, blocked creative flow. And when you work with people who live through these phenomena, at the bottom of it, you will always see that, invariably. So yes, yes, truly, blocked spiritual force creates disease. And not until we initiate these sacred systems do you find your way out. 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. Give us a call if you need help. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.